was holding things up that we've been working through. But as you may know, this is the location for the new Cabela's, which is the subject of this plan. It's a little under 110,000 square feet. There's also a plan for Cinemark Theater, which is a minor plan, which I believe should be approved and recorded after this next Tuesday, so shortly thereafter. Right now, there is a large park and ride facility that exists on this parcel where Cabela's is going. And we did talk about this a little bit before when we were doing the deed restriction amendment for this property to enable this. The park and ride facility is being relocated here, which is actually a more superior location for the riders and the users. A lot of the people who use the public transportation from the mall actually park there already because it's more convenient. But it's very much utilized. It's also very much utilized by DART in a way that really was never envisioned at the mall because there are, how much is it?
1,800
buses a week that come through the mall. Because it's a bus transfer station as well. It was never supposed to be. We've sort of gone along with that because it's been in everybody's interest. But there is talk about moving that. But in any event, the park and ride is the most significant feature, and the bus transportation system, because the bus shelters that exist on site, there are several, are used a lot. There's a significant amount of public transportation used. And as I mentioned at the last council meeting, interestingly enough, it is used significantly by people who live in the city of Wilmington. A lot of people who live in the city of Wilmington use the public transportation, and now fairly significantly to go to Target as well as to the stores and the food court, and hopefully soon the movie theater as well. So there's a significant amount of public transportation and public transportation amenities. There are connections, and there will be even a boulevard connection from the Cabela's for pedestrian access to Nordstrom's and to the mall stores. Obviously, the mall itself is very pedestrian friendly. Bike access, while providing for it, frankly, it's not all that feasible here or practical. But we're hoping that there'll be some more developments in the area. And if I can, Mr. Chairman, I want to mention briefly about transportation issues.
We have a little cleanup here. We have Council President Bullock and Council Cartier.
Again, I'll give credit to our Department of Land Use because they did a great job as this plan, both plans, went through the process. Initially, we had talked about, because of time requirements, try to get both plans approved before the end of the year, and they were, frankly, and we should have been here by the end of December, early January, because everything's been done at the county level. The transportation issues with DLDOT are what turned into a real problem. We had about a 3.5 month delay with DLDOT. The interesting things that come out of the transportation notes that you should be aware of, the road that runs between what's now, is it Bahama Breeze now over there?
Yes.
Used to be Houlihan's, and where Costco is, which we call Center Boulevard. It's also known as the P Connector Road. Where that connects to the Ring Road, you probably all know, has issues there, been for years. We've been advocating for that to be traffic signalized. Most people say it should be a traffic signal. We've even offered to pay for it. DLDOT continues to resist doing that. So what we are doing as part of this project is there's going to be improvements made and some additional lanes added where Center Boulevard meets the Ring Road. The idea is we're going to continuously have people that are entering and exiting the mall with continuous movements, but that the Ring Road will continue to have stop control, but there will be additional lanes allowing the traffic to run through more smoothly. We will still, and as a note on the plan, still have to employ off-duty police officers to handle when there's peak traffic to eliminate the left turns in, because it's the left turns in that create a conflict. So if you eliminate the left turns in during heavy peak hours, your right's in, your right's out, your through traffic, okay, all of your through traffic, all can move. The only issue then is you're left out, so that has to be controlled by police officers. But it will allow for much better flow of traffic. And then if a signal is needed, we'll put one in. What we've agreed to do, as you know, you probably noticed, there's a $120 million highway project going on, I-95 Route 1 interchange, which should be done in 6 months, 6 to 8 months. When that is finished, and when Cabela's is occupied, we've agreed to go back and study again with DLDOT's traffic section to determine if something different or if something else needs to be done in order to facilitate traffic flow here even more so. It's our belief and our traffic engineers' belief that when the Route 1 I-95 interchange opens is that everything will work better. Everything will work better in the area. And then the other two things, there are contributions that we'll have to make, pro rata contributions to Churchman's Crossing study area and potentially some other intersections if and when that becomes necessary. And as I said previously, these two projects together are about $40 to $50 million in construction, hoping to put people to work very soon, and about 300 to 400 permanent jobs at these two locations as well. So again, as the mall has been for the last 8 years with the redevelopment that's been going on, this will be a new boom to the economy for the county. And I didn't introduce Jim Whitcomb, who's here, who's the development director for the mall, and Brian Collin, who's the engineer for the project. And I'm happy to answer any questions that you have.
I didn't see Councilman Street sitting over there. I thought it was, never mind. And Councilwoman Kilpatrick and Councilman Smiley are absent. They're on vacation together.
Florida.
they're the same place.
So
Councilman Tack.
Thank you, Coach. Here, Harry, on the Loop Road, you know, obviously, you know, I don't have a big attraction to the mall, although I have teenage daughters, and they do. So I have to go to the mall much more regularly than, you know, plan. But the Loop Road, you know, I always find it kind of hazardous trying to, like, get out of the parking lot and across the Loop Road. You know, they kind of, like, back up as you're coming up towards the road that brings you in by Costco.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, where you're talking about they restrict the lefts, but the rights, they kind of back up through there so you can't get out of the parking lot if you come up past, like, the Target. And then if you go down past the borders and you go back out that way, which is kind of like a main way to go out there, and they actually have a DART bus, that they kind of come around there pretty heavily as they come around the road, and it just seems a little bit hairy as you're trying to, like, even get out of the parking lot. And maybe there's not many accidents there, and it's just, you know,
well,
I'm already
the buses little by little it's going to be, because it does huge damage to the pavement and the ring road as well, and has for years. Now, one thing I did point out last time we were here, the ring road right now doesn't do this. As you know, it's not a ring. It cuts in here and does this. So this is a this plan will accommodate it now being a fourth, and that'll help a lot as well. This is the land that was purchased about 20 years ago from Cavaliers, 8.2 acres. That's now going to be incorporated into the mall. So the ring road that right now cuts in and does this is now going to be a full ring. I haven't experienced what you're experiencing, and I do go there a lot, but I think one of the issues that we have that we dealt with and it came up with Board of Adjustment is some of the roads that enter the ring road and coming out when you're leaving the mall, and working on signage and some issues there. It's the retail and commercial focus of Newcastle County. There's a lot of traffic there.
Well, I've had to find the girls. Then I had to find out how much they spent, and then I'm already frazzled and I'm trying to get out of the parking lot, so it doesn't go well together.
Councilman Power.
You know, you said you had, but most of the people coming from my end and myself is hitting that road, and that's one reason I don't like going there.
Hitting here, you mean?
Yeah, it's a mess. And even when you got a cop there, it's a mess. That I will go anywhere but there. And, you know, that's really the mall's problem, you know, because it is a deterrent. I mean, I agree something needs to be done there. When you come from the south on Route 1, it brings you up on that road by Dick's. You turn over there, and then you run into all that problem. I'd rather go to Dick's than I would because I don't have to put up with that traffic.
Yeah, well,
now you're making me go to Cabela's on the other side of it.
You can get that. You'll be able to get there from 95.
Yeah, that'll be a lot.
Yeah, but see, I'm not hitting 95 from Southern.
Well, you don't have to now. The new configuration will put you right on this road here, mm-hmm. coming up Route 1, and then you'll be able to come right over to Cabela's. So now, and we've got this great video that shows.
Where is that going to come in to?
When you're coming
from Route 1.
When you're coming up on Route 1, you'll be able to pick up this access to the mall road here. And you'll be able to come in from that side.
What you would have to do is get off and not come up this road, come over and then go back over again. That would be the only way.
You're going to have alternatives now.
I mean, it isn't like you're going to run off of one and come right in. When you get off one, you end up coming up by Dick's right into that.
That's the one way, but there'll be alternative, because the key here now is that the main thing they're doing with this project is that you're completely separating one from 95. So as you're coming north on Route 1, you will have choice. And you'll have a choice to go 95, or you're going to have a choice to stay on 1. There'll no longer be that weave and merge that's been such a big problem. It still is a problem.
I don't think it's going to change much coming from my direction.
Oh, yeah. From your direction, it changes the most, actually.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, I've got a video. I can get it to you. It's on a disc. You watch it. It changes. It'll show you all the...
I would have to come up to the light, make a left, go across Route 1, make a right, to get on the bridge again, to go back over Route 1. He's shaking his head. I know the area. I drive by it all the time. I'm watching the bridges go up.
Yeah, but you're going to have alternative options to get to these ramps now.
Yeah, zigzag. It's like going around town. Zigzag.
But you won't be mixing with the 95
you're
traffic.
You're in a farm tractor. You got to get in. Drive straight over.
Thank you. I'd like to focus my comments and questions on people that don't drive. And I was pleased to hear that you've got covered bus shelters. Land use planning and transportation, we give lip service but still don't do enough to accommodate the fact that not everyone can afford to nor prefers to drive. And a lot of folks would prefer to take transit. If we make it user-friendly, we need to make it in an intermodal design. We need to make sure that they're user-friendly at the modes, which means the bus shelters become very, very important. So I'm pleased that there are bus shelters. And we also need to focus on the fact that those of our citizens that we equally represent in the city of Wilmington or elsewhere that can't afford or choose to for their transportation for either jobs or for shopping or taking something other. And ultimately, we can't build our way out of congestion. So we need to make sure that we capture other folks that could drive but would then opt to take a bus. And so that brings me to my final question. Two questions. One is the buses. We're getting tour buses as well as commuter buses, both DART buses.
Yes.
You're nodding, yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And of course, it shouldn't be a surprise. This is a wonderful amenity, which is planned on a transit hub at a major interstate intersection, unlike Barley Mill Plaza, I might add hypothetically.
Well, the other thing I'll add too is that when you talk about it, and it sounds like neither Councilman Tackett or Councilman Powers like to come to the mall much, but they're obviously in the vast minority. And the other point I'll say is that what you have,
Cabela's, I go to it more than, and it's in West Virginia.
But the people who come here, and this is a big difference between when we talk about traffic and we talk about roads that are used in communities and in people's neighborhoods, that people travel, that they go to school, they go to work, and they use every day. There's a difference. People choose to come here. This is, you come here to shop. And when you come here, you take on the responsibility or the detriment that comes by parking and shopping and driving in an area that you know is heavily traveled. But nobody, this isn't in the midst of anybody's school. This is in the midst of an employment center. This is where you come to go shop, and that's what it's there for. So when you come there knowing what you're confronted with. And obviously, and again, from our point of view, this is the design that DelDOT came up with, and this design's been there for many years.
Let me get back to
Let
me get back to the other important mode question. You need user-friendly, intermodal, covered shelters, both not only here at the stop here, but where we pick them up. And this is, I guess, more of a question for transportation and land use. What are we doing in order to plan and make it more user-friendly for our transit folks to make sure that there is covered bus stops at the locations where we pick the folks up? And that's why it's not your question. Where, and Jeff sees a nodding yes because he's a planner hard too, where are these folks coming from? And as we plan regionally, how can we do a better job of making sure that we provide covered bus stops for the folks, whether or not they have to or they choose to not to drive? Because, you know, if it were user-friendly, there'd be many more of us that would opt to go there. I refuse to go unless my daughters or wife insists that I go. I'm like the other person. That's a question for David Culver. He knows what Dart or Dylan is doing in terms of telling us where the folks are coming to, and are we planning for them to make it user-friendly with the intermodal stops?
Well, David Culver, Department of Land Use. On the Dart question, when any plan comes through, they are a reviewing agency as part of the overall transportation. There are no objection. So in some sites, DART will require the covered shelters. We often recommend that to DART. I think DART basically has various criteria on when they want a shelter put up or when they don't want a shelter put up, based off location and usage of those areas. So you see on a lot of the plans there will be either a covered required, or in some cases the developers actually will put the cover on themselves and maintain it because DART doesn't want to have to do a lot of maintenance on those facilities. So we are seeing that more frequently now.
In the city of Wilmington or elsewhere, are there are we thinking regionally through Will Mapco about covered shelters for transportation to this obvious destination?
Yeah, obviously through Will Mapco, we had the conversations on intermodal transportation. We talked to DART about those situations. And as we get more user-friendly developments and density developments, we can certainly see additional bus routes being made available by DART. So that's an ongoing discussion within DLDOT and the DART division on how to make better transportation linkages throughout these sites.
Thank you.
You know, I'll remind you, Councilman Weiner, that until DART and the state decide to evict those poor folks out of Rodney Square, you have very good bus shelters there right now. I think council was going to adopt a resolution opposing that.
We did.
You did. Good. Glad you did. But that's a great place for the people in the city to have shelter until they come here. Hopefully it continues.
Also, I'd like to add to that that a lot of your places out of the city and out of the suburbia area where DART's going to go to the mall, your representatives have to put up the money, street money, which is about $30,000 for each shelter. Councilman Bell?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Number one, with this plan, it comes as no surprise to me that DLDOT would not agree with putting a traffic signal there because it would make too much sense, number one. And especially when the applicant is proposing and willing to pay for it, it just makes too much sense, and I don't think they can deal with that. But when you look at the overall plan, I think the improvements, the reconfiguration of the outer loop, and the reconfiguration and relocation of the public transportation, everything, it's a very well thought out plan. And for those of us that do go to the mall on a regular basis, I think the outer loop making more of a circular is a great improvement. When you look at the park and ride and the bus transportation, it used to be across the street, okay, across the outer loop. Now bringing it into the main theater part of it, no pun intended, but there's a theater right next to it. And the other thing, as far as the plan of the Bellas, the public access to be able to connect into the other areas of the mall, I say that it's a very well thought out plan and applaud the efforts of the applicant and everything for that. But no kudos go to Delta.
Councilman Street.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Major renovation, $40-50 million project. 1,800 buses a week. Fact of the matter is it's a major hub for a lot of things. Folks go back and forth to the beach. Folks go back and forth to school. And we've had crime, some serious, some not so serious, both inside and outside. My question is there any, what is the lighting going to be? Is there going to be an upgrade there? And two, is there specific, with the increase in volume, the increase in everything, is there a revised or new and improved public safety plan? And as to Councilman Weiner's concern about the bus shelter, not trying to be argumentative, but the bus shelter, that sewer cuts through it. And I was overruled by a representative in part of my area outside the city because I wanted all the bus shelters removed. Obviously, he was spending the money. He had the last word because depending on how they're situated, where they're situated, it's also been a haven for crime. So that sewer cuts two ways, and replacement should not be considered accordingly. So my question, though, is lighting the public safety.
Yeah.
And inside and outside.
Well, I think you'll find now, and I'll let Mr. Whitcomb, unfortunately our mall manager who was here last time couldn't be here today, but I'll let Mr. Whitcomb address a little bit. I'll try to answer some of your questions. I think 10 years ago we were sitting here where there's a lot of concern about the mall, and there was a lot of criminal activity at the mall. Not even I was going then. There was a lot of decline. There were a lot of issues there, frankly. This renovation that was a $200 million, the redevelopment of the mall, bringing Nordstrom's in, and $200 million project that the mall underwent over the last 7-8 years has really changed that. Now, and I'll let Mr. Whitcomb respond to this, and I think Mr. Chambliss, the mall manager, would tell you, is that now the crime and public safety concerns are very low. In fact, the incidents that you have usually revolve around people trying to put on some performance to get into the Apple store, for example, when there's some sales going on. There's an orchestrated effort, people to put on fictitious acts that they've been sick or they've been injured in order to get it. It's an interesting thing that goes on there. But on the other hand, there are state police in the mall. It's a very expensive proposition, but they're there. They're there full-time. Many of the stores, like the Apple store, have them employed full-time at the store all the time. In terms of lighting, the entire mall property is lit. This new area will be lit now as well. All of the lighting around Cabela's, they have a certain lighting style that they want and that they use, so it's different. It's more intensive lighting. It's more lights at a lower height. It fits what they do. But in terms of overall public safety upgrades, do you want to address that, Jim, at all?
Sure. I can talk about it.
This is Jim Whitcomb again for the record.
Just say your name.
Jim Whitcomb with General Growth Properties. I have been the development director on this job for 10 years. I was brought in specifically to do the original redevelopment of the center. So I've been with it from the time that Larry's talking about. When I first walked on the site, I mean, I wouldn't use the word scary, but it certainly wasn't one of the best maintained safety programs we've had. And we've made a lot of change to it. We don't rest on our laurels, and I understand your question, and I'll answer your question. From a code standpoint, we start talking about lighting. Lighting is always a relative thing when you start to talk about it. There are so many things that come into play. The codes here are either 1 foot candle or 1.5. Are they 1 foot candle? 1 foot candle. Our minimum criteria is 2 foot candle. So it's double the light out there today that you would normally see in a code compliant shopping center. The other thing that plays into it is the number of obstructions that you have out there. And while we always work towards our green space requirements as much as we can, we're also very conscious of creating dark spots where people can hide. So it's a main focus of ours. We tend to use taller poles than most do for that reason. There's many fewer, whatever the right word for that is, there's quite a few fewer light poles out there because we're at 50 feet. We also use color-corrected lamps in our poles, which help with our security cameras. Now, to come back to what you're talking about, certainly we're going to keep our minimum foot candle requirements up to the standards that we've maintained. We are adding, 5 new security cameras into the program. I don't know the exact count today, but every square inch of the center is visible from pan, tilt, zoom cameras that are monitored by our security department. We do have 6 state troopers on site all the time. And on high weekend activity times, we supplement that with another 3 to 4 troopers. We also will be buying another security vehicle for the project for the express intent of rotating through these areas, which today we don't have a need to, because in one case it's still operating as a golf course, and in the others is confined to that front area. So it's certainly in our best interest always to have the highest levels of security that we can reasonably maintain on our projects. Last thing we want to hear is that you don't want to come because it's not safe, which is what I was hearing 10 years ago. And hopefully we've done quite a bit to turn that around.
How about level of incidents since the last redevelopment?
That's a number that I can't tell you, other than I know that it's dramatically different before and after. And the nature of the incidents has changed. From general thuggery, I guess, is a non-legal term, but it certainly suits what was happening out there. To the purse snatches and the grabs, and you put that many cars there, somebody's going to steal a car. To throw a statistic at you, or a relative statistic, there are 20 to 25 million people a year that come to this project. To have the little amount of crime that we do have is really an outstanding kudo to our security department and our management.
To answer your question, Councilman?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Anything else from the council? Councilman Cartier.
Glad to see, continuous investment into the Christiana Mall. Now we've got the highway project that will hopefully make it a lot more easy to transition, travel through the area. So this last phase that we are looking at, that in essence will bring the site to its maximum build-out as far as, I guess.
Unfortunately, yes. I'm hoping that's not true in the future, but as of right now, the mall doesn't own any other land. They're a good client and have been for many years. So,
right.
Unfortunately, yes, it is the full. It's as much as we can build. I suppose you could always build decks, parking, and build somewhere, but we're very maxed out now. The land that DLDOT took for the interchange didn't help. So, yeah, there's no place to go now. Hopefully that'll change in the future, because I think there's tremendous potential here to do other stuff, but nothing right now.
How many acres are the total?
122 acres, that's right.
122 acres.
Okay, thank
you. Councilman
Water? Thanks. Speaking only for myself, but as a new urbanist, I believe we should be looking at both horizontal and vertical integration.
I agree.
Councilman Holmes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Personally, I think that the Christiana Mall is a tremendous asset for Newcastle County and beyond Newcastle County. Folk who come there from Maryland, from New Jersey. Without the Christiana Mall, I think we'd be much worse off. And I think it's somewhat of a blessing that Christiana Mall evolved. It wasn't all built at the same time, because with the addition of the Nordstrom stores and the improvements there, I think that they were able to take advantage of a lot of the new technology. The lighting there, in my opinion, I was blown away to see the level of the lighting, the intensity around the mall with the additions of Nordstrom and other stores. And when you think about the shopping opportunities in Newcastle County, without the Christiana Mall, I think an awful lot of people will be going other places. And even before Nordstrom was there, the amount of people that was going and still go to King of Prussia, even though a lot of people say they don't like it, the fact of the matter is that provided a lot of the type of shopping retail that a lot of people, even in Delaware, preferred. So I think that with growth, there are challenges, but there's also a lot of positives with Christiana Mall being the destination. And I'm just glad it is in Newcastle County, and it continues to draw investment to make certain that it maintains to be a destination for people all around us.
Councilman Bell?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, something that comes to my mind, too, is our comprehensive plan, and we talk about having properties that are shovel-ready to encourage businesses to come to Newcastle County. This particular plan at one time may have ended up in the corporate limits of Middletown.
And I think that to have this coming to the Christiana Mall, Cabela's, is a significant accomplishment for this county, its applicant and everything. And, you know, this is the kind of thing that helps economic growth and development and creating jobs in New Castle County.
Thank you. I'm glad it's in my district. And one thing about it, I've had dealings with Jim Whitkin and Larry Tarabico at the same time, and the mall manager. And I'll tell you, they couldn't be asked for another nicer people to work with. And since Jim got there 10 years ago, the mall has improved on security, lighting, and other things. And he's a well knowledgeable person. And you can see by just, I always say it's Christmas time here all year long. No matter when you go down there, you got to look for a parking spot. Get there early, people. And with Larry Tarabico said, stay tuned. There's more to come.
Hopefully.
There will be. Anything from the public?
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, next we have Mill Creek Hunter Fire Company. They're doing a new project down there that goes from floor area from almost 20,000.
It's going up.
We're 1 foot shy to 20,778 square feet. Councilman Sheldon.
Yes, you basically said it. What they want to do is expand the mezzanine storage area up top of the building itself. The building is being built. But this is one of the things that land use isn't a good thing. If it's not on the plan, you have to come before county council, and that's what the applicant is doing. And at this time, I don't know if anybody's even here. This should be this should be, I can't believe this would be controversial, but it could be. Because it's land use, but it's adding 779 square foot, which is most people's, I'm going to say not even basements, I mean that's small, but on top to do the storage, and is what they need. So I'll hand it over to Mr. Walls if there's any questions, but that's all it is for storage on top at the mezzanine level.
I think Jeff Ross from Duffield Associates representing Mill Creek Fire Company, I think Councilman Sheldon pretty well said it all. This was an expansion of a mezzanine. As they got under construction, they realized they needed some more storage. That put them over a minor land development plan, so we're treating it as major. We're here before you, and hopefully it isn't controversial. It's not going to result in any more traffic or any physical impact at all to be visible because it's an internal space. But I'm here to answer any questions.
Anything from council? Councilman Cartier?
I would just like to say that I respect the enormous service of our volunteer fire companies and the great value they bring to the citizens of this county. Because if we had to run a professional fire service, believe me, the residents of this county would feel it in their local tax bill. So I'm very happy to lend my support to this little expansion, need for expansion on this plan that Mill Creek Fire Company is, you know, bringing forward.
Thank you, and I agree wholeheartedly. Anything else from council? Anything from the public? Thank you. Next, we have to amend the declaration of restricted dated October 8, 1992, recorded in regard to 2110 Duncan Road. Duncan Road and Kirkwood Highway. There's a Sunoco gas station there right now, and it's going to be a change. And Councilman Sheldon?
Yes, I got this one too. Right catty corner from where we just had this change, that on the corner of Duncan Road and Kirkwood Highway, there's a Sunoco station, a house, and a commercial property that needs a deed restriction done by county council. And I'd like to know, say, first of all, we sent out three different emails from my office. One of them may have gotten hacked, believe it or not, and somebody took it over and said that the meeting was canceled for today. We sent out another one because somebody called up and said, why would it be canceled? And we had to redraft and said, no, it was may have been tampered with. We don't know. But just to let everybody know that on April 9th is when we'll be county council will be voting on this, in case there is any confusion. I wanted to get that cleared up first. But the deed restriction was on a house that is there now that's zoned actually commercial. It's a very funny situation where you have a residential property zoned commercial and the deed restrictions are on a house. So really it's kind of outdated, number one. Number two, the deed restriction has to be changed because of parking spots and areas. And number three, it has to be changed because the original deed restriction was never adhered to. Believe it or not, the trees were supposed to be put all around it. It never happened. The developments were put in behind it. It never buffered. With the new deed restriction that's going to be proposed, I'll let the attorney and developer talk about it. There will be much added deed restriction as far as the buffering goes. I'm very pleasant. I had a Wawa that was built not too far from my house that I asked the same thing, and they weren't too they were hesitant at first. Wawa wasn't. It was the developer itself. But this will be, and like I said, the developer can talk about it, but we're going to have 20-foot walls with approximately 8-foot fences with, I think it's trees outlining the entire perimeter of the property that in 4 or 5 years will be grown in where you'll never see, where it is going to be a Royal Farms. It's a Sunoco station now that some people, I know there's some people that just don't want it built. I've gotten favorable now, a lot of favorable to vote for this. And for some one simple fact, and Denrec has cited this thing over 20 times in the past 12 years. And it's my gas station, of course, that I go to. Just like the Kirkwood Highway, that's now a Wawa. So I always tell everybody, do the opposite of what I want because it's going to change. The Sunoco station that is there, like I said, has been actually closed down and has problems with Denrec. Literally has problems. The big concern from a lot of people that don't live in a median area but off like within a mile or so was the leaky pipes. And I assured them that with the state law, there has to be a double line fiberglass holding tanks that are now there. There now has to be a stormwater maintenance, which it does not have there. So all these new things are going to be added, amenities to it. Plus, they're taking almost a quarter of the land and making a new single lane right-hand turn to make go on the Kirkwood Highway instead of backing the traffic up, which was very good in their thinking of doing that. And DelDOT is the one who required that. But with that being said, there are people that are very next door, is actually picking out the color of the fences, the color of the retaining walls, because they're the ones that are really being impacted the most. And I've really felt sorry for them at the last planning board meeting. But they're in a situation where they're negotiating with the developer, and hopefully that'll be over with by next week. But they have been speaking. So without that, I've said my piece. I'll turn it over to the developer or applicant, whoever wants to speak on it.
Thank you, Councilman. Thank you, Council members. For the record, my name is Sean Tucker. I represent Rural Farms. And to be clear on who I represent and who I don't represent, Rural Farms, if this project is approved, it tends to lease the three parcels you see today that, if approved, will become one larger parcel from Mr. Wittick. Mr. Wittick is here. Fred Wittick is here today. Mr. Wittick, or his company, I should say, has those three parcels under contract, just to give you an idea of the different people involved and who I represent. So I represent Rural Farms. They are the ones who have the interest in seeing this ultimately approved so that they can build a store. Just to break this out a little bit for clarity, I've got a little pointer here that helps a little bit. This is the entire area we're talking about. And there are actually three parcels. There's this front parcel, here's the line, that's where the Sunoco is today. And there's a middle parcel, there's a house on that today. What you're seeing there is the proposed footprint of the Rural Farm store. And then there's a rear parcel, and that building is already there today and operating. This land is all zoned commercial today. This is not a rezoning. This is a deed restriction amendment proposal only. The deed restriction that exists today, which was reported or dated back in 1992, only applies to the rear parcel. Only applies to the rear parcel. Deed restriction does not apply to the middle parcel where the house is. It does not apply to Sunoco. If this project is approved, the new deed restrictions will apply to everything. So it'll bring it together in one harmonious property. To give you an idea of size, the front parcel where the Sunoco is about 0.46 acres. The middle parcel is about 0.77 acres. And the rear parcel here is the largest, being about 1.25 acres.
This would be in my packet if I had it.
Now, why was the original deed restriction recorded? The planning board in the department report talks a little bit about that, but it has to do with the rezoning that took place in the early 90s. And the section of the deed restrictions we're seeking to amend have to do with the buffering that was installed or was there naturally in the area I'm pointing at right now, give or take, and where you could park. Those are the two key aspects of the deed restrictions we're proposing to change. Now, as a matter of public record, in the department and the planning board note this in their public report dated February 19th, 2013, this buffer that we're proposing to change and the parking change were put in place to protect the home that currently exists in the center parcel that is unoccupied, that is on land now zoned commercial, and that will be demolished as part of this project. So it's important for everybody on council to understand, I think, that the extent we're revising the deed restrictions or proposing that, it's only regarding provisions that were designed to protect a house that the Wittick's now have under contract and will be assumed within this larger project. Now, having said that, we did not come forward with a project and just wipe out all that buffering or propose to wipe out all that buffering and not give something back. And actually, in this case, what we are, I would respectfully submit, giving back is a significant amount of landscaping around the perimeter of the project now that exceeds, I would say by far, what is there today that was originally designed to protect only the house based on the public record. Back up here. As you know, there are two standards that you're supposed to look at under the code, in particular, when deciding whether to vote for or against a deed restriction change. One is in what's in the best interest of the parties. And the parties to the deed restriction on the rear part of the project are Newcastle County and the property owner there, Mr. Shore. And the second thing you're supposed to consider, to the code at least, is consistency with the planning goals of the county in terms of the change. So let me talk about number one first. And in particular, if I may, let me point you to page 5 of the department's report. In the department's opinion, and the planning board concurred, one consolidated development plan is a better alternative and allows for safer circulation, shared access onto public roads, and better management of the use and maintenance of the property. So, in a nutshell, in terms of what's in the best interest of the parties, given that The house that's on the center parcel today is now under contract to be sold, and the buffering that we're proposing to remove is no longer needed for that particular house. Given the consolidation of the parcels, the one access point you can see here now proposed on Duncan Road. Currently, there's access for Sunoco here and all along the Furniture Kirkwood Highway. That's being closed, except for this one spot here. You look at it as a whole, this, according to the recommendation of the planners, is a better agreement that benefits both the county and certainly benefits the applicant in its desire to build this store. The second prong that we're told to look at is consistency with the planning goals. As I'm sure you all are aware, Kirkwood Highway is one of the largest commercial corridors in the state. Is designated as a developed area. Infill or redevelopment is something that is encouraged in the comp plan for developed areas. The department and the planning board again talk about in their report, and it's 8 pages long, so I won't read through the entire report on the record, but talk about the benefit of the project and how it accomplishes the planning goals of Newcastle County. As Mr. Sheldon mentioned, the tanks at the existing Sunoco, which is an older station, apparently have been cited by DENREC. Those will be removed. New tanks will be put in under current standards, not former standards that would have existed at the time the Sunoco was originally built. I will also share with you that owner is going out of business. He cannot survive. We understand that's why he's selling, at least that's what he's telling us, in this commercial corridor with all the redevelopment that's happened and other business competitors that he can't compete with anymore because of the small scale and size of the store. I'm going to talk about the McClintocks for a moment. Mr. Sheldon had mentioned then the McClintocks own this parcel just north here that I'm circling with my pen, and they did come to the planning board meeting. We had not spoken with them before planning board meeting, and they were concerned about this single access point now and the traffic being directed through that for all three parcels, whereas before that was only there for this commercial use. And over the past several weeks, actually over the past couple of months, I think it's been now, my client has worked with them, Mr. Wittig has worked with them, and we currently have a verbal agreement regarding landscaping and a retaining wall that will be installed in this area. It's not part of our landscaping plan in front of the county because it's going to be on private property, but I'll show you a copy of that plan. Now again, Rural Farms property would end right about there, and this is the McClintock's house that's again to our north. You can see this landscaping that they've actually been involved in picking out, a fence and landscaping that's going to wrap around their property. And we even worked with them to the point where we let them pick out the color of the fence and the color of the retaining wall that will go along a portion of that property. So for neighbors who have expressed concern and have been willing to work with us and tell us what we can do to address their concerns, we've done our best to work with those neighbors. And in this case, these improvements just for this one neighbor are estimated at about $20,000. I'll just give you a flavor for the efforts we've undertaken since the planning board hearing. To give you an idea of the other landscaping on the property and how it's functioning, because there were areas we knew that would be sensitive. We didn't pick up on the McClintock's area initially because her, and actually it's a married couple, their neighbor was supporting the project, so we just unfortunately had not picked up on the McClintock's concerns early, but after we did, we addressed them. But initially, you'll see a row of landscaping on the westerly border as well. And you'll see at the bottom of this slide, there's an image that was prepared by Duffy and Associates that gives you an idea of line of sight and what the neighbors off of Larson Avenue will see after Rural Farms is constructed. First, I'd like to point you to this one evergreen tree. What we are proposing are Leland cypresses along this boundary, 10-foot Leland cypresses, offset. So there'd be potentially two rows, if you will, of Leland cypresses, 10-foot in height. And you see this retaining wall. That will be part of this project, because the Sunoco actually sits lower than some of the neighboring properties, and Rural Farms is going to stay at that height or that elevation. So you've got a retaining wall, you've got Leland cypresses starting at 10 feet high. They grow about 3 feet a year if they're maintained properly. And there's going to be a fence. Okay, so if you're standing, with this gentleman standing in this depiction, and you're looking across the 10-foot Leland and the wall, this is what you're seeing, okay, in terms of this project. And again, as these Lelands grow, eventually you're not going to be able to see that steeple, if you will, on top of the Rural Farms. This is a view from the cul-de-sac area behind sort of the northwest side of the property. Somebody was standing right about there behind the store and looking and going through tree line and the shrubberies and the landscaping, a similar view shed. So the point in that is that when we first came in with this plan, we were trying to be very sensitive to our immediate neighbors. We tried to come in with a project with significant landscaping to replace what we were removing, even though that was initially there for the house. We think we came in with a good plan. We've made the plan better through meeting with the McClintocks and addressing their concerns, which were addressable. And I would submit, for those of you who are familiar with Kirkwood Highway, this will probably be the most vegetated landscape plan you're probably going to see on Kirkwood Highway. Now, if I can make one last point, this is essentially a redevelopment plan, and it is on an area that's already developed. So there are variances that will be sought as part of this plan as well. And those have to come after you vote on this project. So those are scheduled for next week after the council's vote. But I will share with you that since the redevelopment ordinance was amended some time ago by council, a lot of the projects that come through that require variances now don't come in under the redevelopment code, because you're not allowed to seek variances under the current redevelopment code. So now the projects that are coming through where there's a variance component, they're not taking advantage of the redevelopment code that granted a little bit more flexibility on these infill properties, and that's why you're seeing variances come in 8 to 12 or even more variances to address these infill properties where you've already got these very tight sites. At the end of the day, I can tell you that the landscaping is going to exceed the code requirement at the end of the day if this is approved. What's triggering some of the variances is we have to reduce the width of the buffer. Whenever you reduce the width of the buffer beyond, I think it's 10 feet, it becomes a 100% variance, even though you may be putting in four times the amount of trees that would be required by the code. So we are dealing with some of those issues on the site, but you typically run into those types of problems on any type of redevelopment site, particularly in an area that was built in the 50s, which you're trying to retrofit to. So that's sort of a long thumbnail sketch of the project before you. The planning board and the department did recommend in favor of this project after the public hearing and listening to about, I would estimate, an hour of testimony. We do have some neighbors who have sent letters of support. It's a little hard to see this, probably because of the lighting, but the neighbor, one of the neighbors on Larson's Drive supports us. A neighbor behind the project supports us. And McClintock's is a little bit closer. Again, we have a verbal agreement with them. We're working on a final written agreement, as Councilman Sheldon mentioned. And so that's where we are today. And we thank you for your review and consideration of this matter.
Councilman Weyer.
Thank you. I just would like to address this to council as a housekeeping. I got up out of the middle of the meeting and I walked out because I noted county council's packets had not included the recommendations. This is an error. It does happen from time to time. I asked Betsy to provide us copies, which we received after counsel for the applicant was halfway through, or even more than halfway through, our presentation. Setting aside the fact that I thought the presentation was positive and I had a positive impression, I feel that I haven't done a good job in representing my constituents or county council, and the fact that I didn't have this in advance. Now, you know, we're all busy. If we'd had a chance to notice it and had it in our package, we wouldn't have noticed the absence of it. But I have to tell you that I think we should put it on our executive committee agenda just to make sure that we're
We're all doubly certain that when there are recommendations, obviously with the deed restriction change, that we have the Planning Board and Land Use Department recommendation. More specifically, and I noted, and it's tough to read this while we're listening to a very fine presentation, that there were comments for and against that were analyzed very well by our Land Use Department. There were some very important questions from the Planning Board, and they did provide a conditional approval. Ms. Anderson asked what happens to a plan if the Board of Adjustment doesn't approve the variances. Mr. McGlinchey asked whether the proposed deed restrictions have been changed since the public hearing. Mr. Shepard asked whether this approval will affect the way in which the community and the adjacent property owner can continue to seek additional improvements to the land to further lessen its impact, et cetera. And I just want to say that we need to do a better job collectively as a team. Other than that, I don't have any specific questions. I thought it was a very good presentation.
Thank you, Councilman.
Yeah, well, I'd like to say that this was just an oversight this year, and it's not the first time that was an oversight.
I agree. That's what I said.
And I think if anybody had any questions on Mr. Tucker was talking about after they got the paperwork, I think they can bring it up as we go along.
Yes, Mr. Chair, let me just respond to that. We all got this halfway through. We should have had it in advance. There's no excuse. It is an inadvertent error. It's happened from time to time. So I've asked it to be put on the executive committee so we can address it.
Right. Well, it wasn't done.
It was only distributed because I went out and asked for it.
Right. And
we wouldn't have known in advance if we had questions, unless you would have had it in advance to review, based upon reading it.
The Land Use Committee did not have it.
Well, it was available online. It wasn't downloaded and put into the package.
Doesn't
it was a mistake.
It doesn't come on. Councilman Cartier?
Yes. In the line of pursuing questions about this, I have two questions. The existing office building shown on the plan at the rear of the site?
Yes, Councilman.
That is going to retain an office use?
That is correct.
Okay. What type of office use is that?
I know there's a janitorial service being operated out of there currently. And if I may turn to Mr. Wittig to see if there's any other uses.
Not just the janitorial.
Just the janitorial.
Okay.
There are a limitation on the uses that can go into that facility per the deed restrictions, and they're not changing. And that dates back to the original 92 rezoning.
Well, it would appear from that you know, you're going to continue to have a relatively low impact office use on that rear of the property adjacent to the residential homeowners, plus the enhanced landscaping that you're proposing.
That's true as long as that tenant's there. I think when you look at the deed restrictions, you'll see that under paragraph 6 in particular, which we're preserving in the amendment, there are certain things that are carved out and permitted, and I think overall it's relatively low intensity.
Okay.
I also will note, if I may, because I overlooked this and I apologize, the landscaping around the rear of that building, Councilman, that you're referring to, much of that was not put in by the current owner. My client and Mr. Wittig are going to rectify that after this project's approved. We discovered that, obviously, looking at the site and going back through the records.
Okay. My second question is, this is also speaks to the advantages of redeveloping old sites like this, because not only is ingress and egress oftentimes improved, but all speaking of stormwater, the old site, which ironically I'm quite familiar with, filled up many a tank of gas at the old Sunoco there, did not have any stormwater management. Can you explain where the proposed new stormwater management will be on the redeveloped site here?
Yes, Councilman, and I'm going to defer to Mr. Bross as our civil engineer. You are correct. The current site does not have stormwater management. It will be required, as well as some green technology, as part of this redevelopment.
Jeff Bross with Duffield Associates. Stormwater management actually on this site is going to be multiple aspects. We're going to have bio retention areas around the perimeter between the highway and our project, In addition, we're going to have underground management, if you will, rain tanks underneath the parking lot because, again, it's a redeveloped site. There's not a lot of land available. So we probably will be bringing this site close to be 50%, 60% conforming, while right now it's 100% non-conforming. So pretty significant improvements. And then, again, some more in the rear of the existing office building.
Given the fact that it's a fuel stop, you're going to be controlling both water volume and quality of water?
Both quality and quantity, yes, Councilman Cartier.
Okay. And I guess my last question is, what is the total acreage of, that we're looking at in this site plan?
That would be
2.4 acres total.
2.4 acres. Okay. Thank you.
Anything else, Councilman? Councilman
Sheldon? One last thing that I did ask the applicant to do was a noise. I heard about noise pollution. It's on Kirkwood Highway. I live on Kirkwood Highway. But still, I asked a question, okay. I will say that they, with the trees and everything, they did a study. They can talk about it, but they did ask. I did ask for them to look into this, and they so blatantly did, and they can talk about it, and then I'll be done.
Yes. When we spoke with Councilman Sheldon about this project initially, he was very concerned about adequate landscaping, in terms of the deed restriction change, and noise, particularly along Kirkwood Highway. We did visit the site. When you stand on the site today, and we were standing by this existing building here on the other side of the existing vegetation that's actually there today, you could hear trucks and vehicles coming down the road pretty loudly. So we understood, you know, the concern. There's a noise issue there today, but we certainly didn't want to make any material increase in noise, if you will. And so what Rural Farms did and Mr. Wittig did was they hired a noise expert to go out to a store that Rural Farms recently built that will be very similar in nature to this store. And they took a noise reading of that store. I don't have that study with me, but I'm happy to provide more information when we come next week or during the week if anybody wants any particular detail. But the noise study demonstrated that store did not violate the county's noise ordinance. There actually is a noise ordinance that is law today. It talks about how many decibels you can add to existing background noise when you build a new store. Existing store was code compliant, and that existing store did not have the benefit of a retaining wall that's going in as a function of the grade, and the Lelands and the fence. So the conclusion was that this store will certainly be within county guidelines in terms of noise being added to the environment, and in fact it will likely be less than a similar store that was recently built because of the retaining wall and the landscaping for most of the areas of the parcel.
Councilman Sheldon, do you have anything else?
No.
I agree. Anything else from council?
It'll be smothered out.
Yeah. Anything from the public? Yes, ma'am. Want to state your name, please?
My name is Gina Connor. I just wanted to say that I was opposed to this simply because of the size from the Sunoco station on Kirkwood Highway. Now it will be 2.5 acres of commercial property. And I know the house is zoned commercial. I'm not talking about that. The fact that the Sunoco owner is not making what he wants and is anxious to sell, the fact that the tanks in there are an issue for Denrec is not anything that changes my opposition to the project. That's an issue between the owner of the gas station and Denrec. If McClintocks are satisfied with what's going on, I think that's good for them. But there are other residents that are opposed to it, and I'm not sure how many have changed their opinion, but to maintain the residential area the way it was, I think is what is most of a concern for the other residents there. And I hope that, as Mr. Sheldon said, there was a misunderstanding about the meeting. I hope that you'll be able to take input from the residents when you consider this. Thanks.
Ma'am, where do you live in relation to the property?
It's called Wild Cherry Lane. It runs behind...
We got 26 homes on Wild Cherry Lane.
It runs behind the next house and comes down to the cul-de-sac that then looks at that janitorial service.
So you're on the other side of Duncan Road?
No. Same side as Duncan Road, just kind of behind it.
Go back to that other picture.
Some of the residents on Duncan Road
where
had
it shows
concerns
you the view.
Some of the residents on
this is Wild Cherry Lane.
Okay, you're right behind it.
Right there.
Yes.
All right.
I have 26 homes on that, and we have trouble getting out. So.
But some of the residents had concerns because when what is now the janitorial service was rezoned and there were issues that's supposed to be dealt with and they weren't, so they're a little nervous about all the promises or commitments being made. That
10 years ago we gave in because that was it become a drug rehab. But they promised us we could have our meetings there and there would be nobody from out of state. Well, they had cars from Jersey, Pennsylvania, all over. But finally, they shut the place down. Right. But we gave in. We buckled in with some of these amendments. We the community gave in. Fred could probably tell you more about that. So we put up with that. And then the janitors of the place bought it. And they had it. They got another 3-year lease on that. So they're willing to sell. And about the Sunoco station, that guy owns another one in Ellesmere. My name's Larry Hall. I live on Wild Cherry Lane. I'm the president. And you said it was shut down. It's not shut down. It should have been shut down 6 months ago with all them leaks and all.
Now, it was closed for a while, sir.
Yeah, it was closed.
Because I tried to get gas and I was on E and I had to call somebody to get I know it was shut down.
They tried to do a little patch job.
Right.
It's open now,
right. It's, yeah. It's open now. Okay. Yes.
Okay. But I'm concerned you got a school. Let me show you where the school is. You got a school within 200 feet of this place. School bus. You got a school on the other side of Duncan Road, 200 feet.
Past the cul-de-sac development.
No, before the cul-de-sac.
Behind the Pizza Hut.
Where?
Behind the Pizza Hut is the school.
Before the Pizza Hut.
It's right behind here.
It's up here. Here's Harvard, here. The school and all the buses pick up kids here. And then you got walkers. You got at least 50 kids.
You can show it right there, the school.
But we can't even get out of Wild Cherry Lane.
Somewhere it showed it. It's right over
on Duncan Road, about 3 o'clock, no sense even going there. I waited a quarter of 4.
I can't get out of mine either.
Yeah.
Because I got Corpus Christi coming down.
Yeah.
I got 100 cars.
Yeah, but now, where is another Royal Farms where it's not two main highways?
I was just wondering about the Shell station across the street. It used to be a Texaco. Now it's Shell.
Yeah.
It's got limited use. It goes only in off of Kirkwood Highway and exits it on Duncan Road.
Right.
But basically, that intersect where it goes left to get in out of the Duncan Road.
Huh?
It is.
You can see the school.
Because nobody can get through there because three cars stop.
Right.
Nobody can get. Nobody.
Yeah. Well. From what I understand with this project, they're going to put another lane in, so the people will be going down and they'll turn around Kirkwood Highway plus going into River Falls.
They want to show them where the school is.
Right, that'll help that out. That'll help help the other gas station.
My name is Frank Cousy, and I was former president of the Civic Association that Larry is now president.
And it was dropped on me, but I'll accept it.
And it goes back about almost 25 years or so. Schuller bought the property and didn't know that there were deed restrictions that encompassed it. They made a request for the zoning, and they were denied anything be good use for that because of the information that was in the deed restrictions. It could only be used because it was a grandfathered property. It had only been used for one person, not for multiple use, none of that. We had many meetings with the county and with planning boards and that back in the 90s or whatever, and they asked us as the community be reasonable. Try to let this guy come in because he's already invested all his money on his property, and he doesn't want to lose his shirt because of it. Community, with me heading the problem at that time, we agreed that as long as the property stayed exactly as it was, no uses, you know, other than that was a plan, that we would give in. And that's the reason that Schuller still owns the property, because he's been able to rent it with low impact property. We have opposed it from the beginning, but he was a person who lived in the neighborhood, and that was why we gave in. What I submitted, we did to the planning board, and I'll submit it here. There was like 60 homes that have signed this petition, and that is the people that live on Duncan Road, live in on Squirrel Hill, Wild Cherry Lane, and it's just about, I would say that there's probably 95% of people don't want it. And the interesting problem is like you said, stuff we've been promised, and we all know things happen. And then for us, a lot of the residents have been there for 30 years. There's not many communities can say these people have been there for a long time. We can. And that's why it's such a passion for us to not see anything change. You know, the traffic concerns us, for both for us and for the neighborhood, is buses, people walking. You know, even they walk down without sidewalks to get to the Shell Station, not the Sunoco. But now we're going to make it a big opening. So we can't sit back and say it's okay when the community says no. There have been a few people that they talked about or involved with the say that they want it. Those are pretty much the people who are involved in the sale of that property.
Hey, Fred, you want to mention your neighbor?
Sir, I'll call on you when he gets done, and then you have to get up and state your name.
The people that I talked to was the guy that backs right up on that cul-de-sac, the property neighbor next door, the following property, said no. Adamantly, they didn't even want to hear any compromises. I've had several meetings with them to try to encompass to them that maybe, you know, the new developer, maybe this stuff will work out a little bit better than it has in the past. But there's a lot of things that they have to change. I think they're looking for 12 zone variances, you know, for the planning. And that's normal, not normal to have 12. You know, I mean, I don't know what it should be, but I do know that it's wants everybody to give up.
Make copies.
Any questions before I sit down?
It's up to the council. Any council have any questions? And Councilman Hollins?
Yeah, I was just wondering if you and your neighbors had any kind of ideas of what you would like to see in a commercial zone property that's there.
Well, the property that's there was initially was a potato chip factory.
Okay.
It really wasn't a factory. It was pretty much where they dumped the trucks and used it as a depot or whatever, which was we didn't hardly know was there. And then the drug rehab, which basically caused the big commotion or whatever. I mean, we were in the newspaper, pictures of people picketing, you know, the property and stuff because of what was going on, and they felt that it was they didn't get the CO properly. So they said that the county said, oh, you know, we made a mistake, and it's going to be hard for this guy to live through it if we don't change it. So we agreed to the changes to allow him to operate his business and to use the property for a drug rehab or whatever, because it was supposed to be limited use. It was only daytime hours, and that was about it.
So, I guess I'm asking you, going forward, what would you have you
Well, going forward, it's like the biggest thing is the property appears to be the third parcel. It's need for the ground in order to give it to approve the amount of acreage that's there. The if the first the gas station and the existing house wouldn't be the, wouldn't be as much a problem as it's going to be, because it shifts the property up there and it makes it tougher to get in and out. It would probably be just better if it went in and exited on Kirkwood Highway and bypassed that intersection. Now, we've been told that we can't do that because they have to be so many feet from the intersection. And that's why they came back to this third property. And that's why these deed restrictions are so hard and are so important, because once something changes and opens up the door, then other stuff can happen as far as the zoning.
Thank you.
Councilman Bell, do you have your hand up?
The one question I had, and this began like in the beginning of the presentation, I think, Councilman, you had said that initially you know, there was supposed to be buffering back when the Sunoco was built.
Mm-hmm.
And how many years ago? I mean,
19, yeah, who knows?
Yeah. Well, but the fact of the matter is, I guess I get back to, you know, we're supposed to be good stewards of the people to assure that what's planned is followed through on before C of O is issued. And apparently that didn't happen.
Right. Correct.
Okay? So I think that the one reassurance that you can have from us is that this current council in today's environment is that if things are proposed on a plan and an agreement and concurrency of the community and it's put on there, that I would have to believe and trust that our land use department, in concert with this council, will see that through. That, you know, this isn't just a presentation just for a presentation. I mean, we ask a lot of questions. The presenter, the applicant, presents the buffering, the fencing, the wall and everything like that, wheel and cypress. So that's important. That's important to the neighbors. And it's music to our ears when we hear of an applicant reaching out and trying to work with the community and the neighbors to provide that type of buffering and you know, noise abatement and things like that. So I think that, you know, I can only speak as an individual, but I know the feelings and the commitment of this council and the professionals that we have in our land use department, and if these things are being put into the plan, you can rest assured that they will be done.
I appreciate that, you know, we're talking about a lot of years back or whatever, and some stuff was hidden.
Should have never happened.
You know, exactly. And that's where the community is so much opposed to. Yeah. You know, it's not that, you know, the gas station needs to change. Doesn't mean the house next door, they couldn't deal with that. The problem is when you go back to the zoning information on this, it all becomes, hey, we lived this, we did this.
Yep.
You know, we worried our life to what? You know, to trust somebody else? You know, and I'm willing to trust that as I am an individual, but you know, it comes hard to accept somebody saying, hey, you just lived through this, didn't do anything, nothing happened. County said that.
Based upon the past.
And they were called, nobody did any kind of reinforcement.
Councilor Cornyn.
Yes, I want to continue this kind of issue on behalf of community, you know, a couple questions that I want to put on the record and get responses. So it's not a matter of trust, it's a matter of a legal requirement. And that's what this council relies upon
And, you know, there's that old saying, trust but verify, and that goes too. But one statement that was made by a member of the community said that somehow the site that we're looking at here somehow represents a net increase in the amount of commercially zoned land. Is that the case or is that not the case?
Councilman, that's false.
Okay. All right, so we are not looking at an expansion of the site in terms of its area and the zoning, base zoning that goes with this. Two, when this goes to record plan, assuming we, you know, the variances happen and everything, when it goes to record plan, all of the type of improvements from landscaping, stormwater management, improved ingress and egress from the site are, in fact, have to be carried out before this site will get a CO. I'd like the applicant's attorney to respond to that, and I would like the general manager of our land use department to respond to that on behalf of the issues for, you know, in the community.
Councilman, by code, we can only obtain a CO if we follow to the letter the record plan that is approved. That would include the landscaping plan, as well as the access points, and essentially everything you're seeing on the screen before you today.
David Carter, Department of Land Use. Actually, before any permanent CBO is issued, so the planning section, the engineering section, and the building section all have to sign off on the plan. So we physically go to the site with three different divisions to check it. Actually, I give the credit to then General Manager Sean Tucker, who actually started that policy, because up to that time, there wasn't that triple check on the parcels. And that's probably why some of these things may have happened in the past. But since 99 or so, all those divisions go out and before you get your permanency of CO. Now, sometimes you might get a temporary for 30 days while they're still finishing up some things, but the permanent CO is tied to all the improvements, as you see, both on the recorded plan and in the deed restrictions. And then in the future, if anything happens to the landscaping, if a community calls it in, it's a record plan violation, then we would cite the property owner. If, say, someone came in and reduced them, not landscaping, we would then go back and cite the property owner to put the landscaping back in as per plan. And now that we're several years into the UDC and we're having a lot more mature landscaping, we see some of these sites with mature landscaping trimming and cutting them, but they're not removing. So we do hold them to that standard. We may even be able to hold them to the 329 standard if that's on their deed restriction exhibit, but so we'll see how that goes when we get down to the site.
I guess the last comment I'd like to make, and I hear what members of the community are saying, and I believe that they have a reason to be suspicious, but I can tell you that, you know, representing a district with an old commercial corridor, one of the oldest commercial corridors, the Philadelphia Pike, where we have many, many old sites which are, you know, developed over 50 years. They're denuded, they are wall-to-wall asphalt, they're unattractive. You know, where we have an opportunity to, you know, entertain a plan of this nature, oftentimes they're very successful. People come away, the site is more aesthetically pleasing, it functions better, and I think just to have an open mind about that is important. That in fact you're going to get something that's going to be an asset to your community, not a detriment. I can personally testify that, you know, goes on today. So I'll just close off my comments. Thank you.
Councilman Fowler?
Just so it can be explained, this will be attached in the notes.
This deed restriction will actually be reported, Councilman, as an amendment, and it'll be referred to in the notes.
Okay, but some of the stuff we've... the plannings and stuff, will they be, they'll be in the notes on the plan, right? With landscaping?
Yes, the landscaping plan will be part of the record plan. It'll be on file with the county land use department.
And the reason I'm bringing that up, just so you know, there'll be a plan and it says notes, and it'll show everything with planning. I've had subdivisions that said they put in, just as you did, more plannings than they expected, you know, what they at the time, and then they turned around and said we don't really have to do it for the rest of the plan for the subdivision.
To be clear, that wasn't my plan.
I know it wasn't. I know it was a But, and part of it is, it was a plan that was voted on by councilwoman before I got on.
Right.
I asked land use at the time to pull the notes. The notes said the trees were there. I said, so every time you bring something before me, I don't believe the notes. They planted the trees. One thing I would make sure, if it does pass, ask for a plan. He'll get your set of plans. You'll have the notes. You can call him. He will make sure. We all would take care of that. But whatever's attached to that, compared to what happened in 92, no. And I run from Route 40 to Smyrna. I have this all the time.
Yeah.
It's
Council President?
Could you, sir, restate your opposition again?
Well, the opposition is the amount of traffic, you know, on the Dutch Road. You know, it's a lot of people right now on don't walk down the Dutch Road to Kirkwood Highway because they have to cross over the street and cross properties and stuff to get to the city. So a lot of people just cross whatever they don't walk down. Now, right now, the sidewalk stopped about two houses before this intersection or whatever, and there'll be a lot more traffic, people walking out into the streets and stuff or whatever. You know, we brought up in this media or whatever, if, you know, we need to look at, you know, sidewalks and stuff further down if that's happening or whatever. You know, I suggested that maybe they should look at times of in and out, you know, to try to minimize the amount of traffic, you know, during the school hours and stuff or whatever that create the problem or whatever. I mean, like Larry Hall has said, you can't get in and out. You know, the turn lane is going to help, yes, okay. But cutting across the highway is going to be the problem on up Duncan Road because you have to make a left and the traffic's all backed up. Nobody lets it get across. So that's now for people that live there. And for the business. So a concern is about the intersection, about the traffic, you know, about things that are
Anything else from council?
Maybe not.
Chairman, if I may, and I know it's been a long afternoon, but I realize this is your first real exposure to this project, and I see that our friends from the News Journal are writing feverishly. And we know Mr. Taylor's endurance for writing long articles from this weekend. So there are some things I would like to get on the record, if I may, just to respond to some of the things you've heard today.
That's Sean Tucker called.
For the record, Sean Tucker for the applicant.
Okay.
Thank you. And I'll try to be brief. We did listen carefully to folks that are here today. I've met with all the folks that have spoken today. In some cases have spent more than an hour or more. Maybe 2 hours with some of the folks in this room that have spoken today. And so has Mr. Bross. We sat down and opened up our plans and explained what we were proposing here. And what I tried to explain to folks was we didn't come in with a bare-bones plan. I saw a bare-bones plan initially. Mr. Bross and I and Mr. Wittick and Rural Farms worked together before this was ever submitted to add all this landscaping that you see. And handout that you were given that shows all these people who signed up, that was handed out in front of the planning board, that was before anybody saw this landscaping. So it's important to know for the record, just to be clear, that folks did not have this landscaping plan in front of them, to the best of our knowledge, because nobody had seen it until we presented it to the planning board. And this list of people that object was signed before that hearing. We heard folks talk about these broken promises, and I will represent to you what I represented to the folks who spoke today and to others in their community is we'll make them parties to this deed restriction. Not necessarily the one that the county does, but a separate one, a mirror image. In fact, the McClintocks, who we worked with for weeks because they've been willing to communicate and work with us, and we've been willing to work with them and anybody else who's willing to work with us, they're going to be a party to a private set of deed restriction. So this picture and what you see today becomes their right as well, that they can enforce. And when I do deed restrictions, it says in the deed restrictions, if somebody violates them and they have to go to court, my client will have to pay the legal fees if they win. So I am always very careful to make sure that what is promised to the community and to this council is kept. And all the folks that spoke today, I've made that representation to. I've not heard back from any that want that. They're welcome. My arms are open. They would like to join in that private set of deed restrictions. They can be parties and they can have independent enforcement right. What you see is what you get. There's not going to be any broken promises or surprises on this application. Regarding traffic, there is an analysis that has been done by Mr. Bross. We're working with DelDOT. There will be a lane that is going to be added where my client's going to be giving up land or at least the leasehold for an extra turn lane to address traffic. Today, DelDOT will tell you it's an unsafe condition because most of this frontage along Kirkwood is wide open. So it's a dangerous situation if you talk to DelDOT today. We're actually rectifying that. So we're adding turn lane, we're expanding a turn lane, we're controlling access much better. And that's why the department, the planning board, and DelDOT will tell you this is a safer project in terms of how it's laid out and its site access. Sidewalk as well. We heard a little bit of talk about sidewalks. There's a sidewalk being added. We also talked about doing a sidewalk further up the road, but that's the McClintock's property, and they don't know that they want a sidewalk because they have a hill there. And if DelDOT wants it, we'll put it in, but if the neighbors aren't willing to have us install one and DelDOT doesn't mandate it, we can't do that. But we are providing sidewalks around the perimeter of the property where it fronts a road. I think what we heard today from some folks is they would like to preserve the character, the residential character. And what I've tried to explain is that is a rezoning issue that is long gone. These properties are zoned commercial. We are not changing the limited commercial uses that are permitted on the rear parcel. They stay intact. So the concern about that changing isn't changing. We can't preserve the residential character because it's zoned commercial and it's under contract to be developed commercial. That was a rezoning issue from a long time ago. And the Rural Farm store itself will not be on that rear parcel. Some of its parking will bleed over, but the store itself will not be on that rear parcel. So just for the record, we stand ready to talk to folks. We met with folks and spent hours of time with our neighbors. We had the meeting. And when the meeting broke, we offered to meet with folks and continue to meet with folks. I've not had anybody reach out back to keep meeting, except for the McClintocks. And those folks who reached back out to us after we met with them, we've worked out an understanding and arrangement, a very expensive one, but we understood their concern. We're still ready to do that between now and next week for folks who want to communicate with us. Thank you.
Councilman Weiner.
Thank you. Is the president of Cherry Lane Civic Association here?
Yeah, right here.
I said this recently at another rezoning. I would like to say it again. You've got a few days left to take advantage of an opportunity to have deed restrictions in your favor. Because if you don't do that, you're going to lose an excellent opportunity. What you need to understand is notes on a plan can be removed by a subsequent owner. The only thing that guarantees you the right of enforcement is the graciously offered voluntary assurances on your behalf. Second thing I want to say is, looking at this from both the immediate community's point of view and the larger community, this is the potential to become a crime-ridden site with an underperforming Sunoco. With the huge investment that's going in there, that would be the best thing to assure your safety. Not to say that there won't be crime, because we all have those, but I had a similar thing with a Wawa on Concord Pike with the same sort of opposition and elsewhere, and I can tell you when you take a look at the cost-benefit analysis, it's already a done issue about its use. It's commercial. You want it to be viable. The vitality of your commercial corridor, it directly impacts the safety and property values of your residential properties.
And I don't want to prolong this. Mr. Weiner, he took the words right out of my mouth. Please, within the next couple of days, look at this as a group pretty quick. Because if he doesn't do what he says, you take him to court, you get all your money, you don't pay a dime, you get everything taken care of. We just voted on something, that's why it's so stick in our minds, that the people said, nah, I don't want it. And I'm going to tell you, they're going to, I believe the applicant is going to do, a different applicant altogether, is going to do what they said, but to have something stated that all legal fees will be paid by this person, not you, is huge.
As long as you prevail.
Right, of course. But that makes it it's on the dotted line. So think about that. Mr. Weiner took the words out of my mouth, but yes, I agree.
We're gonna lose here. We won't be able to adjourn. We got under other.
Just a couple more comments. He said he met with us. He has met with us plenty of times.
State your name, sir.
Larry Hall. All we ask for, most of the people on Wild Cherry Lane, all we ask for is maybe have less pumps. They said, no, we're going to have 16 pumps. With 16 pumps, you're going to have more traffic. Make the store a little smaller. They said, no way. That's the size. I mean, that's the comment they made to us. I mean, they said there's no... And one other thing, people on Wild Cherry Lane 10 years ago, somebody sold their house to a person, what was that group? Next to yours. Drunk people, not just that. And they moved in. It was supposed to be four women only. We didn't have no problem with it. Then they had boyfriends and men moving in there. We called up, they straightened out. So, I mean, we haven't had two. The people on Wild Cherry Lane, we put up with a lot. And, I mean, we just want a fair shake. People told me today, I'm coming here to waste my time. He says, you're just wasting your time. It's going to get through. I don't care what you say or how many petitions you write. And that's how our neighbors feel. I mean, I don't feel that way. I think you should voice your opinion. And what the chips fall where they fall. That's all I have to say.
And Chairman, just respectfully, if you meet the legal standard, you're supposed to be approved. And so our argument certainly is that we meet the legal standard, and by virtue of that, we should be approved. One final point, this is the smallest rural farms model that exists. And we tried to explain that. We also asked, you know, what was the concern? Was there some specific area of this concern you wanted pulled back? And it really, I think, was about just trying to reduce the size for the sake of reducing the size. Rural Farms offers a lot of products to the community, and to shrink it down would limit the options of people that want to drive in and get something. So we just didn't hear what we consider to be a compelling argument to shrink the size of the store, particularly when it's our smallest model. Thank you.
No, the gas
plant. We're going to cut this off because we're losing people. If we don't do this now, we would never adjourn, and we have to come back into session again on this. So we're going to go to public comment. We've got just enough. Vote. Any public comment? You got 1 minute.
Thank you. Mr. President and members of your Civic Association, just to go back to your public, keep in mind that you have a right to address your government. And you're exercising that, but you don't have a right always to win.
Right, I understand.
Okay, and it's important what you're doing.
Thank you, Chairman. Thank you, Board members, Council members.
German.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Right. Thank you.
Good job. Did you get an email, okay?
Here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You understood
that. I could tell you about nine or so.
Well,
I just wanted to
call me on my cell.
I just wanted to.
Yeah, see, somebody got.